Are there miracles in Buddhism? Miracles are a part of almost all the religions in the world. Buddhism is not exceptional in that case. Throughout the life of the Buddha, from his birth to his great passing away, we can see miracles and supernatural occurrences. In modern days, there are some scholars who dismiss these supernatural powers and occurrences from the life of the Buddha, simply saying that these are a part of cultural baggage in ancient Indian religious traditions. However, I have a different view on this matter. I will come to that point towards the end of this talk. Now, to begin with, let's ask the question. Did Buddha have supernormal powers? Throughout Tipitaka, we can find many references where it is recorded incident related the Buddha's ability of supernormal powers and supernormal knowledge and abilities. The supernormal powers of the Buddha are categorized into six types of groups, which are known as abhinnya, higher knowledge. First of them is known as iddhivida, higher powers. This is a category that include a variety of supernormal powers, like walking on the water, like if it were dry land, dive into the earth if it were water, in cross-legged posture, flying through the sky, astral traveling, or creating mind-made body, appearing in mind-made body in different realms of existence, or even with physical body, appearing in divine realms, or appearing or disappearing. Being one, he can become many. Being many, he can become one. Going through a wall or mountain or any such solid matter without being hindered. So such abilities are categorized here under the group of iddhivida. Then the second one is known as dibba sota, divine ear. The Buddha has supernormal power to hear the sound that goes beyond the ordinary capacity of the human ears. He could hear the subtler sounds, going beyond the infrasound and ultrasounds. He could hear the sound of the other beings, like divine beings and some other types of unseen beings to the naked eyes. He could hear these beings and converse with them. The third is known as Cetopariyaya, the ability to read the mind of the other people and understand the mind exactly how it is. Their mental disposition, their thinking, and all this could be understood directly by the Buddha through this supernormal power. And then the fourth one, Pubbe Nivasanusati Jnana. Ability to recollect the past lives of himself, as well as he could see the past lives of the other people. The fifth ability is known as Dibba Chakku or Chutupapatajnana. This is a kind of ability which is translated as divine eye. And with this supernormal power, he could see how people after the death reappear in different realms depending on their own karma. And he also could see the beings with subtler bodies and energy bodies with this supernormal power. And the sixth one is unique only to enlightened beings. This is known as Asavakya, a supernormal knowledge and power that comes through eradication of all the defilements from the mind, perfectly, permanently, and irreversibly. So these six are known as Abhinya, higher knowledges and powers. In Mahasihanada Sutta, the Buddha says that he has 10 powers of a Tathagata, that he rode the lion's roar in the midst of any crowd confidently. And these 10 powers of the Tathagata are supernormal powers and supernormal knowledge. There are many references throughout the Tipitaka, and the Buddha is endowed with great supernormal knowledge, supernormal powers, and the abilities. Now, perhaps it is important for us to ask the question and know, how did the Buddha use these supernormal powers and knowledges in his life? Buddha used supernormal powers as a skillful means to teach the Dhamma. And he used these extraordinary abilities and capacities to transform human beings in a wholesome way and change them to become wiser and compassionate human beings. And eventually, he led these people to be enlightened. So for the Buddha, his supernormal powers were used as skillful means. There are many suttas where we can see how Buddha used his supernormal powers to lead the people to enlightenment. We will not have much time to explore a lot, but perhaps a few incidents. I believe many of you are quite familiar with the story of Angulimala. When Buddha, can you off that sound? I can hear it. When Buddha went to meet Angulimala and transform him to become enlightened human beings, in fact, Buddha used his supernormal powers. This serial killer, having seen the Buddha, he took his sword and he started to chase after the Buddha. And at that moment, Buddha made a supernormal power so that even though Angulimala were to run after the Buddha with all his might, he would not reach to the Buddha. So Angulimala, having ran after the Buddha, when he could not reach to the Buddha, being exhausted, he said, "You stop. Monk, you stop." Then the Buddha, while walking, he said, "Angulimala, I have stopped. You too stop." This was the turning point. So Angulimala could not understand how Buddha, while walking, he said that he has stopped and Angulimala has not stopped. Then the Buddha took the opportunity to explain to him. Buddha has stopped killing, injuring, torturing all the living beings and live compassionately towards all the sentient beings. Where Angulimala still continue killing, torturing, injuring living beings, this is where Buddha has stopped and Angulimala has not stopped. Having heard these few words, inner transformation occurred in the mind of Angulimala, and that was the transformation, the beginning of the transformation. Eventually, he became a monk and practiced diligently and became enlightened. Another incident is related to Queen Kema. This is the queen of the famous king Bimbisara. This queen was so beautiful, and she was so infatuated with her beauty, and she was very proud, and she took herself in a very high position in the society and among the people. She belittled the others, thinking that there's no one superior in beauty to her. So she took her beauty with so much pride. King Bimbisara, the follower of the Buddha, is awakened to first stage of enlightenment. So he thought, why not my queen too get acquainted with the Dhamma? So with compassion towards the queen, he suggested the queen to visit the royal bamboo grove, Veluvana Monastery. When Queen Kema came to Veluvana Monastery, which is the royal bamboo grove, where Buddha was sitting, and Buddha made a supernormal power there, and he created a beautiful young lady standing beside him and fanning the Buddha. Queen Kema, having seen this beautiful lady, she was so attracted and she was so astonished to see such a beautiful woman. And she drew nearer to the Buddha to see this lady. But in that moment, Buddha gradually make this created beautiful lady to grow old gradually, and then become very, very old, and she dropped to the ground, dead. At that instant, Kema, having seen the beauty ends in old age, sickness, and death, and she awakened from the sleep of ignorance. At that moment, she break through the delusion and attain the first level of enlightenment. Immediately after that, she requested the permission from the king for her to become a nun, bhikkhuni. And she became a bhikkhuni and attained full enlightenment. So Buddha used the psychic powers, supernormal powers, to lead the people to enlightenment. Another famous incident is the story of Prince Nanda. Prince Nanda, after becoming a monk, he could not practice meditation because the moment he sat for meditation, he started to think of his girlfriend. So he wanted to disrobe and go back to the palace. The Buddha, using his supernormal powers, he took Prince Nanda to divine realm and show 500 beautiful divine ladies and asked, "Nanda, who are more beautiful? Is it your girlfriend or these divine ladies?" Of course, Prince Nanda said, "Lord, these divine queens are so beautiful and nothing comparable with my girlfriends." Then the Buddha said, "I guarantee you, Nanda, if you were to practice meditation as I instruct, you will get all these 500 ladies." So Prince Nanda said, "If it is the case that I can get these 500 beautiful women, I will definitely practice as you said." So he did practice as Buddha instructed. What happened? He was awakened from the deep sleep of ignorance and delusion, and he became enlightened. The moment he was enlightened, he went to the Buddha and said, "Lord, I release you from your promise. I do not need these ladies anymore." So there are many such kind of incidents. Of course, the Buddha used his supernormal powers. Now, Buddha did not use his supernormal powers to win the followers or worldly favors or glory and fame. One day, Kevadda came to the Buddha when Buddha was living in the famous city of Nalanda in a mango grove. Kevadda said, "Lord, this Nalanda city is very famous, very populous, and full of rich people. These people also have faith in the Buddha. Lord, please appoint a monk to do some miracles in the city so many people will follow you. Many people will become your followers." Kevadda requested this 3 times. Buddha rejected this idea, saying, "I do not encourage monks to show their supernormal powers for the sake of popularity or to win the followers." So for the Buddha, supernormal powers are used to transform human beings to become enlightened, but he did not want to use these powers to achieve glory, power, or worldly things, including the followers. Now, perhaps, let's ask the question, what is the Buddha's attitudes towards miracles? As we can see in Kevada Sutta as well as Sangharava Sutta, it seems Buddha's attitude towards miracle is, if the miracles were to be performed to impress the people, then these miracles are not different from the performance of a magician. In fact, Buddha prohibited his disciples showing miracle powers to impress the people. One day, this incident happened. In the capital city of Rajgaha, there was a rich man who did not believe in miracles. He was very skeptical about this. He said, it is impossible that there are ascetics who have supernormal powers. Then he made a sandal ball and placed this sandal ball on the top of a bamboo pole, which is 60 meters high in the sky. Then he challenged openly, if there are those who claim who have got the miracle powers and supernormal powers, you can fly in the sky and have this ball, and whoever get it, and he can keep it. So there are many people who got together around this bamboo pole to see whether there is anyone who can do that. Of course, nobody could do that. But at that moment, it so happened the Venerable Pindola Bharadwaja and Venerable Mahamoggallana, these two are also having supernormal powers, the two disciples of the Buddhas. Of course, there were many disciples with psychic powers and miracle powers. So when they were walking along this area and they happened to come to this spot, so Pindola Bharadwaja flew into the sky and got the sandal ball. And he brought it to the Buddha, thinking Buddha would praise him, perhaps. But what did the Buddha say? Buddha ridiculed him in front of all the monks, and this sandal ball was broken into pieces. And then he said, from here onward, they are not allowed to show any miracle powers. So miracle powers should not be done for the sake of popularity, to impress the people. So that is the Buddha's attitude. In Sangharava Sutta, the Buddha categorically speaks three types of miracles to Brahmin Sangharava. He says, the first is the miracle of psychic powers. These are the powers, as I said, walking on the water or fly in the sky kind of miracle powers. Then the second one, he said, the miracle of thought reading, the ability to read the mind of the other peoples. And the third one, he said, miracle of instructions. Having mentioned these three, and in the dialogue between the Buddha and the Brahmin Sangharava, and the Buddha emphasized the third one, the miracle of instructions. This is the supreme type of miracle among all the other kind of supernormal powers. So what is this miracles of instructions? This is the teaching of the Dhamma. The instructions are given in a such a way that the others will understand the Dhamma. The instructions are given in a such a way, in a crystal clear, the others can practice the Dhamma. The instructions are given in a such a way, step by step, a person can practice in meditation and achieve the spiritual heights and eventually break through the delusion and attain enlightenment. Throughout 45 years, Buddha did the miracles of instructions and he gave priority for that. All the other miracles are used for this end. He used the other types of miracles as a skillful means to teach the Dhamma. So this is the Buddha's attitudes towards miracles. Firstly, miracles are to be used as a skillful means if you have them. Miracles should not be done to impress the people. And then, among all the miracles, teaching the Dhamma in a such a way that the others can attain enlightenment is the supreme type of miracles. Now, what is the goal of Buddhist meditation practice? Why do we practice meditation in Buddhist teachings? The goal of Buddhist meditation practice is enlightenment, not the miracles. Of course, in Buddhist teachings, it's very clearly explained how mind can be developed through meditation techniques and achieve various kind of jhanas and their onward miracle powers. And of course, enlightenment. So the main focus is enlightenment, not the miracles. It has to be mentioned very clearly here, achieving supernormal power is not equal to enlightenment. There can be people with supernormal powers, but just because they have supernormal powers, that does not mean that they are enlightened. In fact, before Buddha appeared in the world, there were ascetics who achieved various kinds of supernormal powers, but they were not enlightened. The Buddha's unique contribution to the world is the discovery of the path to enlightenment. So Buddha is endowed with great supernormal powers. At the same time, he is fully enlightened. Now, the enlightened disciples of the Buddha can be divided into two major categories related to this particular topic of supernormal powers. First category is those enlightened disciples of the Buddha with supernormal powers. Second category, the enlightened disciples of the Buddha without supernormal powers. Both groups are fully enlightened. Now, I would like to come to the last point. We are running out of time. In modern society, as I said at the very beginning, there are some scholars who try to strip off the Buddha from his supernormal powers and supernormal abilities. Buddhism encourages freedom of thinking, freedom of analyzing, freedom of expressions. So these scholars, of course, have their freedom of expression. With due respect to their views, I have a different view on this matter. I find if we were to strip off the Buddha from his supernormal powers, we face some serious issues with existing doctrines and the concept of the Buddha itself. First of all, we recognize that the Buddha had 9 great virtuous qualities. These are the 9 great virtues that we recite in famous recitation when you pay homage to the Buddha. Itipiso Bhagava Arahang Samma Sambuddha. A while ago, at very beginning, we recited it. Here we have got 9 great virtues. And one of them is Vijja Charana Sampanno, endowed with great knowledge and proper conduct. So here the term Vijja, when it explain and elaborate, this is not normal knowledge or book knowledge or superficial knowledge. This is abhinya, higher knowledge, supernormal knowledge, which goes beyond the boundary of an ordinary human being. And here all the 6 types of abhinya are included. All the 10 powers of the Tathagata are included. So if we were to strip off the Buddha from his supernormal powers, we have to take away this virtue. Second one is Loka Vidu, knower of the worlds. And it is said Buddha has got the ability to penetrate the world system and know the beings in these different realms of existence. So that is why he is known as Loka Vidu, knower of the different realms of existence and beings. So we have to take this virtue also out of the list. Third one, we also recite Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati, incomparable trainer of men to be tamed. Why Buddha is incomparable trainer of human being to be tamed? Because when a human being is in front of him, he could read his thoughts, his mind, then he could understand what kind of defilements is this person having. His mental dispositions, his character is easily understood. Buddha could read the past lives, so he could understand that this human being who is in front of him has got these kind of tendencies developed throughout many lives. Having understood him perfectly, Buddha could give the perfect direction to the person how he should practice in order to attain enlightenment. So if we have to strip off the Buddha of his supernormal powers and abilities, then we have to take out this virtue as well. The fourth one is known as Satta Deva Manusana, the teacher of gods and humans. Now, there are many suttas where Buddha had conversations with the devas. Devas approached the Buddha to consult him, get advice, or ask questions. So, Buddha had the ability to see these beings, the bhicchakku, divine eye. Buddha could listen to them, what they say, the basota, divine ear. And then he could carry on the conversation. And he sometimes appear in these realms of the divine beings. Now, if we were to strip off the Buddha with his supernormal powers, then we had to take out these virtues as well. So, at the moment, we recite 9 virtues of the Buddha. And if we were to strip off the Buddha from his psychic abilities, as some modern scholars suggest, we have to reduce the 9 qualities to 5 qualities. Because these 4 qualities which I just mentioned cannot be counted anymore. This is the first reason why I do not agree with them. The second reason why I do not agree and have a different view on this matter, if we were to strip off the Buddha from his supernormal powers, we will have serious issues with the existing doctrine, the Dhamma. Now, there are many discourses where Buddha referred to this, and specifically you can refer to Mahasachaka Sutta. The Buddha says, on the night of his enlightenment, he achieved these 3 types of supernormal powers. They are known as Tevijja. First knowledge is Pubbe Nivasanusati Jnana, ability to read the past lives. He could recollect his own many past lives. Second is known as Pubbe the Chutupapatak Jnana, the ability to see how beings reappear after their death based on their own karma. The third knowledge is, of course, the enlightenment, which comes through eradication of the defilement, asavakya. Now, if we were to strip off the Buddha from these supernormal powers, then we will have the issue with the doctrine of karma and rebirth. Because Buddha's teaching of karma and rebirth comes through these knowledges. He sees directly the cycle of existence, birth and death existence. This is not the first life we are living. We have lived many lives in the past. And after the death, we are going to be born again. And depending on our own karmic energy, we will be born somewhere else. So this cycle of existence, which is known as samsara, of course, cannot be applied anymore if we were to take out the Buddha's supernormal powers. So the doctrine of karma and rebirth has to be deleted out. With this, we have the other issue. Dependent origination. Paticca-samuppada. And this is the doctrine where the Buddha explained how living beings throughout this circle of existence undergoing birth and death cycles and how they produce sufferings. And this dependent origination doctrine also explains how suffering can be ended. So when we take out the doctrine of karma and rebirth, and then of course dependent origination will not have its full effects. With this, we also have the issue with 4 noble truths. First truth is to be understood as against cycle of existence. Dukkha is not only something related to present life. And then awakening stage of enlightenment, we use these words, stream enterer, once returner, non-returner, arahant. These terms are applied in relevance to rebirth and cycle of existence. Stream enterer will be born maximum 7 lifetime, and within 7 lifetime he will attain enlightenment. Once returner, he will come back to this human realm one more time before full enlightenment. Non-returner, he doesn't come to human realm, but appear in the divine realms. So in this way, if we were to take out the supernormal powers of the Buddha, and then we will have serious issues with the doctrine of karma and rebirth, 4 noble truths, dependent origination, as well as stages of enlightenment. This is the second reason why I do not agree with this modern scholastic proposal, the suggestion. Oh, yeah. Okay, the third one, why I think I cannot agree with it. If we were to strip off the Buddha from his supernormal powers, and together with these conditions, we have to reduce the Buddha's teaching into a materialism type of doctrine. Suppose there is no rebirth after the death. So the karma is only to be understood relevant to this life. So dependent origination is to be understood only related to only to this life. And the doctrine of Four Noble Truths and the other teachings is to be understood related to this life alone. So it is not going to be much different from materialistic view, because this is the only life. After the death, there's nothing else. So when we take out all these, we are reducing the Dhamma to materialism, perhaps maybe a highly developed ethical system with the philosophy related to this life. So that is what we are going to do. The fourth reason why I do not agree, if you were to strip off the Buddha from his supernormal powers, then enlightenment is nothing more than psychological relief from mental suffering, because it does not recognize the past existence or future existence. So, and it does not recognize the other part of the sufferings. So it is to be understood as psychological relief from mental suffering. So we narrow down the word of enlightenment. Then we have to reduce the Buddha, strip off his psychic powers and abilities and all these things to ordinary human being. He is no more than a great psychology. He is no more than a great psychoanalyst. He is no more than a psychotherapist. So these are the serious issues that we are going to face with if we are going to strip off the Buddha from his great supernormal powers. We have to give the different definition to the Buddha, to his teaching, as well as to his teaching. Now, I would like to end up this talk with these statements. Should we change the Dhamma so it will fit into our thinking and way of thinking and our views, or should we follow and practice the Dhamma so that we can reach the end goal of the Dhamma practice, which is the enlightenment? The decision is up to you, and you can choose and decide. I think this much is enough as a talk.